Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. It has been a pleasure and continues to be to this soul while sharing the life of great lives who were born in our Bharat Desh. This soul prostrates to you and in this episode number 19 humbly presents the life of Swami Samartha Ramadas. The content of this episode is a translation as understood by this soul from the satsang conducted by Govindapuram Sri Balaji Bhagavata, to whom this soul prostrates and lays its pranams. Any inclusion or exclusion may graciously be ignored. When the priorities of people change, their living conditions also drastically change towards ill health, ill feeling towards fellow human beings, and loss of faith in self and spirituality. To set things right, as Lord Krishna Bhagavan has said, that whenever there is a lack of righteousness and spirituality, he will appear to put things straight. The life of Swami Samarth is in line with the words of Bhagavan Krishna. On the banks of River Godavari, not far from Nasik, is a town of Jam. In this village, there lived a pious couple whose job is to be singing the praise of Lord Suryamurti through day and night and performing puja to him every day, meaning they were ardent devotees of Lord Suryamurti. They were the Shanbog of that village, Sri Suryaji Pant Tosar, and his wife, Srimadi Ranubai. Suryaji Pant prayed to Lord Suryamurti that they be blessed with a child, not to enjoy the wealth or take care of them or the belongings, but who will continue to do the daily puja as they were doing. Being pleased by their devotion, Lord Suryamurti appeared in a light form in their dreams and informed them that they will be blessed with two sons. The first one will continue to do the family duties as is being done now, and in the process will bring in laurels to the family. Name him as Gangadharan. The second son, who will be born, will bring in upliftment to the society in general and will lead all humans towards righteousness. He will bear the feature of Anjaneya and will be a boon to the country. Name him Narayanan. Having said this, the light disappeared. In due course, the child was born. The parents named him Gangadhar, as was advised by the divine light in the dream. At this point of time, Sant Eknath, about whom this soul will publish a podcast in near future, was staying in a place called Pratishtipuram, which is now called as Paithan. His wife Srimadi Girijabai and Srimadi Ranubai were distant relatives. As all of us know, Sant Eknath dedicated his life earnings for Ramnam Sankirtan and was also a very pious person. Parents of Gangadhar took him to Sant Eknath. Sant Eknath laid the child on his lap and blessed the child. He also said to the parents, "This child of yours will bring great honor to your family. He will lead a pious life." He didn't stop at that, but in line with what the celestial light communicated in the dream, he said, "Your second son will be a Mahatma and will bring in solace to humanity." Later, Sant Eknath attained Jala Samadhi on full moon day in the month of Falgun. Days and months passed, and Gangadhar and his parents celebrated the arrival of a new member in their family. As advised, the parents named him as Narayanan. Legend says that there are evidences that point that Narayana, later to be called as Samarth Ramdas, is a reincarnation of Swami Anjaneya. Sant Tukaram, in one of his notings, has mentioned that he had the opportunity of meeting Sant Ramdas on the banks of River Krishna. He was changing his clothes after bath, and it so happened that he was able to notice a small tail to his physique, which goes to confirm the belief. Young Narayanan was very naughty. None could control him. Every moment, he would be seen doing some mischief or other. He used to climb trees and from there jump into the flowing Godavari. Once when playing with his brother, he was hurt in his forehead and the scar remained forever. But one thing noticeable was that he used to be silent when observing his father and brother performing Sandhyavandanam, and especially when his father did the daily puja to Suryamurti. He was very inquisitive to know whatever that was happening at home and whatever that was being done. He used to inquire with his father, what were they doing during Sandhyavandanam? What is Taraka Mantra? His father told him that once he is anointed with the cross thread, he would also be eligible to do Sandhyavandanam. And Taraka Mantra should be initiated by a person who is already initiated. The father also added that Taraka Mantra is the only mantra that would reach anybody to get the darshan of Prabhu Sri Ramachandra. Narayanan contended that Taraka Mantra can be initiated, but to this his father told that the first initiation should be Brahmopatesham, and thereafter only others can follow. For Brahmopatesham, the boy should be of 7 years. And at 7, Narayanan was ordained with the cross thread and Brahmopatesham done. He immediately asked his father to initiate him with Taraka Mantra also. But the father said that time wasn't right for him to be initiated. He advised his son Narayanan to perform Sandhyavandanam properly for the time being. Later, Narayanan's father, Pant, passed away. Post all the rituals, Narayanan started pestering his brother now to initiate him with the Taraka Mantra. Gangadhar also procrastinated. Young Narayanan was dejected and depressed. He used to go away and sit in solitude. His mother saw this and got worried. She went and asked him when he was alone and looked depressed, "Narayana, what are you worried about? You look lost." For this, Narayanan replied, "Yes, Amma, I am worried about this world. Why is that things are happening the way they are now? When will this change?" This was too much for the child of his age to think. This soul would like to take a detour here to explain the reason why young Narayanan felt like that. The Mughals were on a rampage in most parts of the country. For their belief, idol worship is sinful. But the Sanatana Dharma followers of the Hindus were worshipping idols. The Mughals understood that people will not worship a chipped off or broken idol, and hence they would not commit sin, was their thought. They went across all temples and damaged idols which were worshipped. They also looted the temple of its riches and didn't spare any vices uncommitted. They also converted people to Islam wherever they went or took their lives. Because of their arrogance and barbarianism, fearing for life, most of them got converted to Islam. Now, getting back to the life of Swami Samarth Ramdas. Hearing her son telling like this, she thought that a marriage would set things right for him. Forgetting the celestial voice of Lord Suryamurti in the dream, she wanted to get her son married. She opened the topic to Narayanan. He immediately retaliated, telling that he doesn't want to get married. If she insisted, he told that he will run away from home and won't return. This added more fuel to her worries. Those days, boys were married between 12 and 16 years of age. Since Gangadhar was already married, the mother thought that marriage will be the solution. When she spoke again about marriage to him, he asked her, "Why should he get married? Is there a reason for it?" The mother replied, "Look at your brother. He has learned the requisites. He goes and earns money, and he is responsible. You are also learned. You need to be responsible so that you can earn and get the required provisions for the home. You will be responsible only when you get married," she said. Narayanan left home in a jiffy. He went directly to a provision store. He saw stacks of grain sacks outside the store. He picked up one of them and came home. The shopkeeper, yelling, came running behind him. When Narayanan reached home, he dropped the sack of grains inside the house. Immediately behind him, the shopkeeper also came. He complained to Ranubai about her son picking up the sack of grain and coming off without any communication to him. Ranubai asked Narayanan why did he do this, for which he replied that he has got the grains for food to be cooked and has become a responsible person. Ranubai said, "It's his mistake. I will not be able to purchase the sack of grains." Immediately Narayanan asked the shopkeeper to take the sack away. Looking at the sack, the shopkeeper said that it will not be possible for him to lift it and take it back to his shop alone. He wondered how Narayanan picked it up and came single-handedly without any stress. For this, Narayanan said, "It's Prabhu Sri Ram's blessings." The shopkeeper called for a loader and asked him to bring the sack to the store. When he lifted the sack, wonder of wonders, there was another sack of grains there. Ranubai saw this and said none of the sacks belonged to them and asked the shopkeeper to take both the sacks. When the second sack was removed, lo, there was a third sack of grains. The shopkeeper, frightened, took only his sack of grains and left the place, leaving the two sacks behind. The mother asked Narayanan, "Have you learnt any black magic or what? How can you do this?" Narayanan, with all humility, said that he had done nothing and everything has been the blessing of Prabhu Sri Ram. He also added that, "I have been pleading with Gangadhar to initiate me with Taraka Mantra, which he has not done, but I have been continuously doing Sandhya Vandanam. My aim in life is to have darshan of Prabhu Ramachandra," he said. "For this, I need to be initiated with the Taraka Mantra. Father delayed it and he is no more. Nor my brother is initiating it to me. What shall I do?" he queried. The mother, seeing all this, got into a tizzy. She resolved to get this lad married first thing. Silently, she started preparations for the marriage. An alliance was seen, finalized, and the date of the marriage was also finalized. Ranubai then approached Narayanan and wanted a promise from him without telling him the reason. Despite best of his efforts, he was not able to get the reason from his mother, and mother's love prevailed. He said, "Okay, I promise you, but I will not get married. Now tell me the reason." Though the mother had a setback, she asked them to promise that he will not leave the marriage till the Lagnashtakam is completed. He also gave his word. For the sake of listeners, Lagnashtakam is a ritual just before the tying of the Mangal Sutra. A silk cloth separates the groom and the bride, and 8 verses are pronounced about the antecedents of the groom and the bride, each verse ending with Savadhan, meaning caution. Caution to the bride and the groom that you are entering into marriage and have plenty of responsibilities to be carried out to maintain the respect of either family. In most cases those days, when the cloth is removed, that will be the first occasion when the bride and the groom would see one another for the first time, though other family members would have seen them. Then the Mangal Sutra has to be tied and the marriage concludes. When the verses were said ending with Savadhan, it echoed like caution to Narayanan. "Narayana, your brahmacharya is coming to an end. And that's it. You will not get initiated with Taraka Mantra and you will never ever get the darshan of Prabhu Ramachandra." When the Lagnashtakam got over, Narayanan pleaded to the Pandit that he has to leave for a moment. The Pandit understood the travails of the young lad since he has been going through the rituals since early morning. The boy wanted that moment to get relieved and come, he thought. He also said, "Come back soon before the Muhurtam ends." Seeing the groom leaving the marriage hall, 10 people followed him. Realizing this, Narayanan took to his heels and others also started running behind him. Narayanan came to Godavari River, which was in spate at that time. Within a split second, he took the plunge. Two or three people who came running behind him took the plunge too, but were not able to swim in the current of the river and swam ashore. Swimming in Godavari, Narayanan reached Nasik. The place gets its name from Ramayana. This is the place where Lord Ram disfigured Surpanaka, cutting her nose off. Nasik in Sanskrit means nose. Young lad got out of the river, didn't know where to stay, what to eat. People visit the temples of Kala Ram and Gora Ram in Nasik. Close to it is a place called Takali, where there is a cave which was a place of stay for young Narayanan. He went into the town for bhiksha and got his food. But now, having run away from home, who will initiate the Taraka Mantra to him? He decided to seek the blessings of their family deity Suryamurti. He resolved to do what is called as Gayatri Puracharanam. Gayatri Puracharanam is chanting of Gayatri Mantra 1 lakh times and 10% of it given Argyam, and for every 1,000 do Homam. Who are eligible and who have been given Brahmopatesham can chant Gayatri, which will bring in universal peace and peaceful coexistence. Young Narayanan used to get up at Brahma Muhurtam, have his bath, do Sandhya Vandanam and start with Gayatri Puracharanam till it's time to perform Adhyaniham, standing in hip-deep water of Godavari. He would go to a couple of houses seeking bhiksha. Once he gets from the houses, will return to the cave, offer it to the Lord and have it. Lord Suryamurti, pleased with the penance of young Narayana, appeared before him. Narayanan pleaded to him, "I want to be initiated with Taraka Mantra, but my father passed away, my brother delayed it, and now I am here. Kindly initiate me with Taraka Mantra," he asked. For this, Suryamurti said that he will be unable to do it for him. Yet another challenge for Narayanan. He started once again, "My father didn't initiate me, neither my brother. I had hopes on you, and now you are refusing me to initiate me." Seeing him winning, Lord Suryamurti said, "I only said I cannot initiate you, but didn't say that there isn't a way." Encouraged by these words, Narayanan pleaded to Lord Suryamurti to show him the way. Lord Suryamurti told him to do penance towards Lord Anjaneya, who alone can initiate him. Narayanan didn't wait a second and started his penance seeking Bhagavan Anjaneya's blessings and initiation. Bhagavan Anjaneya appeared in front of him and asked the reason for his penance as if he was not aware. Narayanan prostrated at his feet and said, "O God, who considers all women as your mother, I prostrate at your feet," and started to tell his desire to have darshan of Prabhu Ramachandramurti. When Narayanan narrated his travels and that he was directed by Bhagavan Suryamurti to seek from him initiation of Taraka Mantra, Narayanan was in for a rude shock. Bhagavan Anjaneya expressed his inability to initiate Narayanan with Taraka Mantra. Seeing the reaction of Narayanan, he continued, "I will ensure that you will be doctrined with Taraka Mantra by the one whom you want to have darshan of, or whose darshan will be blessed by chanting the mantra." Narayanan was in disbelief. Swami Anjaneya said that he will request his Prabhu Sri Ramachandra to come and initiate him. Bhagavan Sri Ramachandra appeared in front of him. Narayanan, seeing his Swami in front of him, started singing with the following as its content. A light mixture of blue and green was flashing, and from that, with broad shoulders, bow in his hand and arrows in a quiver, tulasi mala from neck to toe, pearl beads round his neck, adorning his chest, bow-like eyelashes, in between Kasturi Thilakam. Lotus-like eyes, sharp-featured nose, flattened torso, in between shining Vaijayanti necklace, athletic thighs and soft feet, a personification of beauty of the world. O Sri Rama, I prostrate at thy feet. When he was singing, Bhagavan Ram started tapping his leg in tune with music, enjoying it. The anklets of his legs added sweet music to the song when he was tapping the floor. Sri Ramchandra Murthy waited till the song got over. Then he lifted the young devotee, placed him on his lap and initiated him with Triyodashakshari Mantra. What else will one seek? The Swami then told in his right ear, Om Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Sri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. He also said that he should chant this 13 crore times to have the darshan of the Lord. Having received the initiation, and that too from Prabhu Ramachandra, young Narayanan went into a trance. Meanwhile, Prabhu Ram disappeared. Narayanan, though in a state of ecstasy, turned towards Swami Anjaneya and asked him, how will he keep count of such a huge number? As ever, Swami Anjaneya assured him not to worry and that he will ask Prabhu Sri Ram to keep the count too. Paying his respects and taking leave of Swami Anjaneya, young Narayanan started chanting the mantra. Days went into weeks, weeks to months and to years. He chanted the mantra non-stop for more than 12 years. Narayanan slowly started getting anxious too. I have been chanting for so many years now, and why is it that Prabhu Ramachandra Murthy hasn't given me darshan? If he felt that I am not eligible for the darshan, why did he initiate me then? Various questions started arising in his mind. Still, he didn't lose heart but continued with the chanting. Every now and then, he used to go to the mouth of the cave and see if his Prabhu has come or not. One day he was frustrated and was looking at the entrance. He prayed to Lord Rama and started singing this. People call you as all merciful. Is this the mercy you are showing to me? You haven't given me darshan so far. Why are you making me go through these sufferings and make me cry? Did I ask you anything else? No, only one thing is that I need to have your darshan. Why don't you give darshan to me? Don't you know what is there in my mind? Whom will I go and say? If I have a challenge, I would call on you. But when you become the challenge, to whom will I go? I have no go, Rama. My throat is parched, crying to see you. I am unable to speak or sing. Why are you still delaying? In Marathi, the first words of the song goes as, Hey Dayalu Rama. Hearing his cry and pleadings from the bottom of the heart, his Rama, Prabhu Ramachandra Murthy, who came alone to initiate him, now came with his full darbar. Mata Sita to his right, Bharat, Shatrughan and his buck Anjaneya accompanying him appeared in front of him. Narayanan prostrated to them all as many times as possible by him. Prabhu Ram informed Narayanan that his chanting has crossed 13 crores and that's why, being pleased by his penance, has appeared with his full darbar. Prabhu Ram asked his devotee, seek a boon you want and that shall be yours. Immediately Narayanan sought that Prabhu Ram should give darshan to whoever chants the Taraka Mantra 13 crore times and also that he should one day keep the count, for which the boon was granted. Narayanan was asked to seek another boon, for which he said that never in this life or in future he should ever forget Prabhu Ram's name and remember it always. Moved by his devotion, Prabhu Ram gave him a cloth which he had used during his vanvas. Swami Anjaneya also gave one of his vastra to him. Having blessed the devotee, Prabhu Ramachandra said that his mother is waiting for his arrival ever since he had left home. After meeting her, he should go around Bharatavarsha propagating righteousness and spirituality. He was renamed as Ramadas. Later, people add Samartha to his name, for he will be ever Ramdas. Let us now move to Jam and see what's the situation there. Close to 12 years have passed since the incidents when the marriage had to be cancelled since the groom left the mantra. The mother Ranubai grew old, and with that her eyesight too. She never lost hope of not meeting her son before her last breath. Every evening used to be a trying time for Gangadhar and his wife, since she would start asking, "Is it dawn yet? My Narayanan would come. He will surely come," used to be her only statement. Sitting outside the house during the day, anyone moving will appear to her as a shadow. She would ask them if they were Narayanan, only to be disappointed. In the evening, the daughter-in-law and son used to help her to get inside the house. Days passed like this. One day, the daughter-in-law heard a sannyasi at the door. She came out and, seeing a sannyasi only in a loincloth, brought bhiksha and was about to offer it to him. The sannyasi told that he had not come for that, but for something else. Hearing this, she raised her head and saw a face fully grown with beard and long hairs. But the eyes looked familiar, and the scar on the forehead showed off Narayanan. She ran inside to tell her husband, "Your brother has come, your brother has come." Gangadhar came running outside and saw the young sadhu standing there. Seeing his elder brother, Samarth Ramadas prostrated at his feet and embraced him. Hearing the commotion, the old lady came out and understood what was happening. Samarth Ramadas prostrated at her feet and sat next to her. The loving mother ran her hand through the body of her long-lost son and asked him, "Narayana, you have grown a beard, your hair is long, and you are just in loincloth. Have you become a sannyasi or what? Who is taking care of you?" He acknowledged and answered her queries. Then he narrated all that had happened ever since he left home on that eventful day, and how he had darshan of Prabhu Ramachandra Murthy. His brother was overwhelmed with emotion and embraced his younger one. He said, "Being a sannyasi, you are free to go anywhere and do whatever you want to. Need to be blessed." For this, Ramdas said, "Being a grihastha and observing celibacy is more challenging than being a sannyasi. You are performing that which I am not blessed with." He also mentioned his motive of going round Bharatavarsh as ordained by Prabhu Ram. His mother told him that he should stay with them till her death, and lamented that she was unable to see him who had come after so many years. Samarth Ramadas touched her eyes with his japamala and gave light to her eyes. He promised to her that when the end comes to her, he will be there and will perform all rituals. Saying that, he moved from village to village, town to town, propagating the name of Prabhu Ram, the beauty of Sanatana Dharma, so that everyone can be benefited. But as he moved to various places, he got depressed at the situation. In Himachalam, he went to the extent of committing suicide and jumped off a cliff. Prabhu Ram and Swami Ajaneya held him and said, Prabhu Ram said, "You have been sent here to change the situation and bring in a change. Do not lose heart. You will achieve what you have been destined to." When he was going through Maratha kingdom, Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj happened to meet him and became his follower. Their relation became so thick, both of them joined together and gave Punardharanam to Bharatadesam. But for Samarth Ramdas and Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj, the situation in our country would have been totally different from what it is today. It was Samarth Ramadas who taught Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj guerrilla warfare. One would notice Hanuman temple throughout Maharashtra today. The pujaris were appointed by Maharaj so that they perform their duties and also keep an eye on what's happening in the kingdom, being informers to the king. On day of crowning, Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj wanted Samarth Ramadas to be present, for which the son said, "Your darbar is not a place for a loincloth sannyasin. You rule the kingdom righteously and be friendly to the people." Later, with much persuasion, he made his Rajguru to accept his offering of the Sajangad fort to him. This is about 20 kilometers from Satara. Once during his visit to current day Tamil Nadu and to the town of Mannargudi, he came across a person who had been making idols of gods to various temples. Due to his blindness, he had stopped making the idols. When Samarth Ramdas came to know about this, he requested him to make Prabhu Ram's idol to be installed in Sajangad. The sculptor expressed his inability due to his blindness. Samarth Ramdas restored his eyesight. The work started and Samarth Ramdas went to Rameshwaram. After his pilgrimage down south and on his way back, he wanted to collect the idol of Prabhu Ram. On collecting the idol, he asked the sculptor what does he want in return. The sculptor requested that he should become blind again since he didn't want to see the world which has gone bad. After having had the darshan of Prabhu Ram's idol and a great saint like him, he would not like to have his sight anymore. The sculptor's descendants are living in Mannargudi, Tamil Nadu, and can be met even today. Sant Ramdas came back with the idol to Sajangad, installed it, and stayed there till he left his mortal coil. When he felt the time has come for him to leave the body, he told the devotees around him then that since he was a brahmachari sannyasi, his body should not be interned but be cremated. He embraced the idol of Prabhu Ram. People who were present saw a light dissolving itself in the idol of Prabhu Ramachandramurti. The mortal remains of Samarth Ramdas were cremated. His ashes are kept there to date in the temple. His personal belongings are also kept in the temple premises. Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of Saints of India. If you would like to support this cause of mine, you may contribute through patreon.com, the link for which is given in the description. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha.